We are. Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase. We're live with the Patron Platinum Club. We're excited to be here. Of course, you know what that means. Predators play tonight against the San Jose Sharks. 7:30 puck drop. Pete and Hal will have your call on these airwaves. I will have pregame for you starting at 6:30. And, of course, our game day broadcasts from Bridgestone Arena are brought to you by Hermitage Design Center. Let's bring in Tim Hasselbeck. And he is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, and he now joins us. Tim, how you doing?
Doing.
Remember when I – is he on the in the west wing of the castle?
Again, I don't know.
This week?
What? Are you kidding me? Come on. How about now? We good now?
We got you. We got you. Remember a couple weeks ago when I asked you if the AFC had caught up to Kansas City? Has the AFC caught up to Kansas City?
Clearly they have, because it is wide open, folks.
Who would you rank as – so now, today, who's your top three in the AFC today?
Today. Well, I think Buffalo's got to be in there.
Okay. Are they – but rank them, are they one?
Well, I got asked a question the other day by Chase, and like I about MVPs, and like I left Josh Allen out. You know what I mean? So like sometimes, like, you know, the top of your head, like you can forget somebody. So like, I hope I can talk through this a little bit. But I'm going. Look, Buffalo's got to be in the mix. The Titans have to be in the mix, and
are you buying the Bengals?
Yeah. I am buying the Bengals.
Congrats.
And I'm not – yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Baltimore, Cleveland?
Something in common. We're going to own a couple teams. The problem with Cleveland right now is
– injuries.
I don't think Baker's going to make it through the year.
Yeah.
Now, I also – I mean, look, Case Keenum took the Vikings to the NFC Championship game. I don't know that it's this, like, massive drop-off with Case Keenum, but, you know, do I think Cincinnati maybe is better? Yeah, I think Cincinnati may be better.
Chargers?
You know, and then I think, like, from the West, like, I think it's too early to count out Kansas City. And I also think that the rest of their division, you know, could produce a pretty competitive team in the postseason as well. So, you know, I think that's just one of those spots where it's like, look, there may be two teams from there that would be very difficult to play in the postseason. But the Titans are in the mix. The Bills are in the mix. And for the Titans, I mean, heck, like, you've beaten the two teams that played, you know, to represent the AFC, you know, a year ago in the Super Bowl. Like, that's pretty impressive couple of weeks, especially when you think about how the season started.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is after that Monday night game, on a short week, we talked the rest of the week after talking about the Monday night game, put our focus on the Chiefs, and everything that we talked about, Tim, played out. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, I get it. There's a lot of people like, hey, I got the skins on the wall, still the Chiefs, still Mahomes. Like, I understand all that, but he is turning the ball over at an alarming rate. The team leads the league in turnovers. Mahomes is giving the ball away, whether he's fumbling it or throwing picks left and right. And, oh, by the way, the defense is awful. So how much is that going to change?
The defense being awful probably doesn't change that much. But the defense, you know, has not been a perfect defense in the past. They've just been able to play with a lead, rush the passer, you know, and make enough plays when they needed to. And in terms of Mahomes turning the football over, look, I really don't see – he's had a couple of plays where you say, all right, he looks like he's maybe trying a little bit too hard to do too much, but he's always been super aggressive with the football, always. And so – you know, I don't think we can – like, look at the pick that he throws last week, you know, against the Titans where he's running to his left and really it probably should be caught. I think it was McCole Hardman it wasn't Hardman. It was one of those kind of complimentary receivers. It gets tipped, and it's great hustle by Rashad Evans, and he ends up picking it off. Or you go back a couple weeks ago to Tyreek Hill run a shallow cross that goes through his hands and off his shoulder pad and ends up getting picked off and run back for a score. So I do think there's an element of like, hey, we're looking at the Mahomes turnovers, and, you know, there's a little bit of an element of being really let down by his supporting cast. Now, has he had his hand in some bad ones as well? Yeah, most certainly. Like, and, you know, the fumble that Kevin Byard forces at the end of the half, you know, would fit into that category. And listening to Kevin talk about the play, you know, after the game, it was interesting. He's like, you know, I'm chasing him. I'm seeing the bad ball security. And so, like, I'm getting ready to punch it out. So, you know, it's also something that's being coached, clearly, when you play Kansas City with how they handle the football.
Remember in the offseason when everybody said it was the Jets, they're a bad organization, it's Adam Gase, he sucks, it's all Jets, 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 new place, Sam Darnold will be different. Well, was it really the Jets? Because it doesn't feel like it was just the Jets now. Now it's starting to feel like Sam Darnold just may be a bust.
Yeah, I mean, here's my thing. Like, that may be true, but and he didn't play well the other day. I don't think you can live in this knee-jerk reaction, though, if you're a coach. You can run down the list. I don't care if it's Drew Brees or Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or, like you have bad weeks sometimes. And I think that, you know, here we are just a few weeks into the season. Like, if that is the, I don't know, without Christian McCaffrey, with some of the things you're dealing with there, being new to the organization, like, if that's the leash, I don't want to play for that coach. I'm just being real about it. Like,
okay.
You can't be that quick on it. Like, I mean, look, every year there are guys that have moments where they really they struggle. Like, some, and look, it may go a couple weeks. I don't P.J. Walker's not the answer, and so to think that you're yanking, you know, Darnold out of the game. Look, I think that Matt Rhule essentially, I think he acknowledged the mistake with the way he talked about Sam Darnold being their starting quarterback, you know, going forward. I think he was acknowledging that it was a mistake. I think that we are way too quick across the board on these things sometimes to be like, all of a sudden a young quarterback doesn't play great. It's like, nope, can't be good. It's like, no, wait a second. Like, go look at Josh Allen's early, you know, time as a starter. Like, that wasn't great.
I think what's interesting is, you know, quarterbacks deserve all this credit because the great ones, it is amazing, even though I think they should have their own award and not make the MVP just a quarterback award, because Derrick Henry should be heavily, heavily in that discussion, but I digress. You've already heard that spill before on the show. Because the good ones, like Russell Wilson, he deals with all the stuff that goes on, right? He's dealt with injuries and guys in and out of the lineup and all, a hot mess, and he just keeps leading them to wins and playoffs. He goes away. Look at Seahawks. I mean, they're just a shell. Like, the good quarterbacks, it doesn't matter what goes on around them. They find ways just to keep plugging along. It's the average, right? It's the average quarterbacks that can't pull. They just can't do it. They can't pull it off. And Darnold is a prime example. You brought up McCaffrey. Like, if McCaffrey's in there, like, it changes things. But he can't do it without McCaffrey. Like, he still can't will them to wins without McCaffrey. That's what separates the good / great one, or the great ones from the good ones. Agreed or disagree?
I totally agree. Look, I think there is a group of quarterbacks that – you know, be a winning quarterback, take a team to the postseason, win a postseason game, get a team to a Super Bowl. Like, I think there are quarterbacks that, like, that's a group that I think there's a lot of good players in. And it's a dependent position. Now, are there a few guys that just do an amazing job of elevating, you know, all of the talent around them? Yeah. But, like, how many are there? Five? Eight? Like, how many? Is it a quarter of the league that has that guy? Because, like, the next quarter of the league, like quarterbacks, you know, 9 through, you know, 16, like, those guys are exactly what you just described, which is, like, hey, all right, like, you need a true number one, like a guy that you can throw a 50-50 ball to, but it's really 80-20 in your favor. Or, yeah, they can run it. Or, man, their defense defends a short field and is always holding people to field goals. Like, I think there are more of those quarterbacks than there are the guys that you're talking about, where it's like, all right, take Russell Wilson off the Seahawks. Look, what do they look like? Okay, not great. Okay, now put them on a team that isn't great, and, you know, what do they end up looking like? Look, I think we've stopped talking about Deshaun Watson for the most part, but, like, I think it's fair to say that he made that team significantly better. Like, I think it's fair to say that, you know? Like, does he make everyone around him better? Yeah, I think so. And I think there's a real element of that, you know, various paces. And when I say environment around you, I mean the players around you, the coaches, the play calling, that, like, both sides of the ball. I think all of that, you know, ends up being a factor.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, we're talking NFL here. So, Tim, you've got a big, big game for the Colts. You know, all week long they've been building for this game here. Let me just give people who have had the Colts not as much on their radar. They've won 3 out of 4. They should have won the fourth game. They blew the fourth game. Most people probably saw that one, the Monday night game. We certainly talked about it a lot on this show. Carson Wentz now has 4 straight games where he's had a quarterback rating of over 100. His overall rating is now over 100. He's only thrown 1 interception the entire year. A second one was ruled a fumble the other night where he kind of pitched it to the wrong team there.
Yep.
But that aside, they're getting mileage out of him. They look like they're steadily moving in the right direction here. I think this is going to be a great football game on Sunday. But tell me what you're seeing from the Colts. Are you starting to see the team that they were supposed to be?
They are not the team that I thought that they would be. But I do think they are a team that's going to be really hard to beat because of a lot of the stuff you mentioned. The quarterback really isn't turning the football over, and he's making some tough, gritty plays. The Sunday night game is a great example of what he can do. And because he's, you know, strong and athletic, and I think Chris Collinsworth was making the point, like, wow, this is about as, like, well as I've seen him move since all of these injuries. And it kind of felt like they needed to because of the weather the other night. But, yeah, I think that makes them, you know, a pretty tricky team to deal with. And I do think people kind of writing them off, but they can run the football. They've got pretty good playmakers on the defensive side of the ball. And if the quarterback, you know, is making some plays with his legs and not putting the team in a bad spot with really bad turnovers trying to do too much, then, yeah, look, that's a hard formula to beat. And it's kind of why I felt like all along, like, the Carson Wentz addition there would be really good if they didn't ask him to do too much. And I think they're trying to figure that out a little bit. And look, I would agree with you. Like, there is a toughness to that team that I think, as we get through the season, you know, we'll start to see show up. And look, you know, Quentin Nelson's dealt with an ankle injury so far this season. You know, Xavier Rhodes, who Chris Collinsworth said he didn't think he was going to be able to make it through warm-ups, as an interception return for a touchdown in that football game. Like, a quarterback that missed 5 weeks at the beginning of the season, you know, through training camp and stuff because of a foot surgery. Like, I do think, like, it's kind of a tough, gritty football team.
I agree. I think this is going to be a great test because of the urgency. You can speak to this, Tim. You know, sometimes a team needs a win. This is what I think Mike Vrabel's got to fight mentally, because after these two wins, they certainly created themselves a bit of a cushion for the Titans, whereas you have the Colts going, we have to win this game. If we win this game, we're one game back. We're right back in it. The next two games for the Colts after this one are the Jets and the Jags at home. So they feel like they're back in the race if they win. And isn't that, with a long grind of a season, sometimes what you fight, even for a good team, that sometimes one team needs the win more than the other?
Yeah, and I think that part of it is like what you just laid out. You know, a lot of times coaches, I mean, we've all seen it, right? You guys have interviewed guys, and it's like, oh, just 1 week season, this most important game, because it's the next one, and, you know, all of that stuff. But what you just laid out, I think, ends up being critical. And, you know, depending on what Mike Vrabel thinks his team is generally aware of, like, I would guess that that's addressed. Like, look, this is a division opponent. Like, this is a team that's not out of it yet. This is a team that we're familiar with, and we know how good some of the players are. And, like, let's just be really clear about this, because they just played in awful conditions on the road Monday night and beat a pretty good, you know, Niners team, a team that's got a lot of talent. So like, let's look at what they're looking at. They got us and then two winnable games. They win their next three, they're sitting in a really, really good spot. And we know for us, like, we played the Jets. And we know, like, if we don't take care of business, like, we can lose to anybody. And, you know, I think you gotta somehow get your team's attention with that. And look, he may not need to get their attention. Their attention may already be on it. That's, you know, comes down to, you know, him knowing his team. But yeah, like, I think that's something that's got to be known and felt by the Titans locker room.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, here with us on Darren Donick and Chase. So the Arizona Cardinals remain the only unbeaten team in the NFL. And, you know, we've talked about it with you over the last several weeks that you're a believer in them, you're a believer in Kyler Murray. But if you're evaluating that team, you know, what is the weakness that you can exploit to beat them?
Oof.
Or is there one?
You know, they haven't identified a weakness so far to me. I think what's interesting about them is that, you know, they defensively are, you know, like, they've got difference makers on defense, you know, guys that can rush the passer, guys that, you know, when you need to close a game out, you can close a game out. You know, I had some question, and you guys, I think, heard me talk about, like, I thought the thing that, you know, maybe hold them back is, like, the ability to, like, win the ugly game. Like, a coach managed the game in a way of, hey, we're going to punt here, or, hey, we just got the ball backed up. We just need to get one first down so that we can punt it and flip the field. Like, some of that kind of, like, ugly win type coaching. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, I kind of felt like they did that. And that was my big question coming into the season. But they are so hard to defend because of their speed, because of their quarterback, because of the matchups they can create in the passing game with guys they have. And now you add Zach Ertz to it, who I don't think they've scratched the surface with the matchups they can create with him. So that's a really, really good football team. And I think defending the quarterback is going to be hard for anybody throughout the entire year as long as he's healthy.
Do you still feel like that, you know, the Rams belong in the upper echelon conversation, sitting at 6-1? I know Detroit did give him a test, but, you know, there was different things there with Goff returning to LA, and, you know, Dan Campbell seems to be motivating his team. But are you still a believer in the Rams?
Yeah, I mean, I think Detroit, you know, stole three possessions early in that football game. Yeah. Fake punt to extend the possession. You've got a surprise onside kick that you get the football back, and then a second fake punt. So, yeah, I think that game was competitive with, like, the very, very best shot that Detroit could give them. I think it's a really good team because I think they've got a good coach. They have an outstanding quarterback. And I think that when you look at them defensively, they are another team. See, here's how I look at defense. Like, you've got to be a team that's, like, good at everything. Like, you can't be a team that people come in and say, look, we can clearly run the football on them. Or, hey, like, their third corner is awful and we're going to wear him out. Like, I think you've got to be – you can't have those deficiencies, right? And then, like, think of the Titans last year. Like, it was easy for people to play the Titans last year and be like, we're going to attack the third corner. Like, that's what we're going to do. And that's what they did much of the season. So you can't have that deficiency. And then I think the next thing you need is guys that will actually make a play when you need it to be made. And, like, I think you look at this past week, like, the Titans would be a good example of this. Like, Kevin Byard, like, makes a play at the end of the half. Like, look, that was a huge swing because it prevented Kansas City from scoring. And even though it was 24-0, like, you had that feeling, like, or what if they score here? Like, we've seen these guys come back before. And then it leads to a field goal for the Titans. You know, I think when you look at, or you know, Harold Landry with a sack late in the football game, I think a similar thing can be said for the Rams. Like, do they have guys that aren't got to close it out and get a sack? Do you have that? And, like, they do. You know, do you have a guy, let's think of the Jalen Ramsey interception, you know, at the end of the game. That was really pressure on the quarterback, defender making a play. So, like, yeah, to me, they have all those elements, so I am a believer in them.
Okay, last thing on my end. I texted you about this last night. I was watching the Manning cast, and they talked about Matthew being added to the Ring of Honor there and retiring his jersey there in Seattle, which was very cool to see him get that honor. And I know you were a happy brother on that. But Peyton and Eli were talking about that, and Peyton made the comment that he and Cooper used to play, I guess, backyard ball with you and Matthew because your dads played together in Minnesota at the same time, which I looked this up. The crazy connection is Floyd Reese was the defensive coordinator, and Mike Mularkey, former Titans coach, was also on that team in the mid-'80s.
Yeah.
So is Peyton correct? And Eli, I guess, was too young, but you guys used to hang out as kids?
So Peyton is correct. You know, our families have crossed paths a bunch, and they're not a nicer family than those guys. And dads were teammates in Minnesota on a team that was also the head coach at the time was Les Steckel, which obviously Titans fans you know, probably remember Les from his days here. They weren't very good that year. I think they were 1-15. But they were teammates there. And then Matthew and Peyton were the same draft class coming out. And, you know, obviously, it, you know, both played a very long time. Eli and I were teammates in New York. And, you know, we've always, you know, kept in good contact with those guys. Think highly of them and their entire families. And Peyton is correct. We do have some, I think there's some video and some pictures of some Minnesota backyard football. And Peyton's also correct that Eli was not allowed to play because he was still playing with his blankie at the time.
It was good. It was good stuff to see for sure.
That's funny. Tim, real quick.
Funny. I mean, you know what's funny about that is, you know, obviously it was cool to see my brother go into the Ring of Honor, and the Seahawks did a really nice job. You know, kind of honoring him and his time there. But I got so many texts from, you know, about that, but, like, then about the Manning cast. It just goes to show you, it's like the Manning cast has, like, taken over. Like, people are dying, you know, to get to that. And those guys are pretty entertaining on there, which is no surprise.
It's the only reason I tuned in as long as I did. That game was, I just think they're crushing it right now. I mean, they just are.
Well, the best part about it, truly, think about this. Think about the best part about it is, like, because they're not, like, calling the game the way you would normally call a game, like, they can sit there and be like, this is awful, right? Like, because it's what you would say if the four of us were sitting down watching the game, we'd be like, that was an awful series. Like, how gross was that, right? Like, you could say it like that, not like you're announcing a game. You could say it like you're just hanging out with some friends being like, that was gross. Like,
and that's what I said earlier, Tim. That's why it's working, because they're unfiltered. They're not tied to a team. They're not afraid to, you know, to say something. They're just unfiltered, and they're just saying whatever, like you said, what we all are thinking. And I think that certainly helps a lot.
Hey, but listen, you're not tied to a team. Here's what's going to start happening. Guys are going to start getting real sensitive to the things that they're saying, just like they do, when people call a game, you know, normally. It's just a matter of time.
That sounds like it's a little close to home, Tim.
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about it earlier.
Hey, look, well, okay, you guys probably saw this, like, you know, whether it's Trent Dilfer talking about DJ Uiagalelei, Clemson, and now, you know, Dabo and Tony Elliott, yeah, all of a sudden, like, you know, a little sensitive about it, or, you know, all that stuff. I mean, you guys know the drill. I mean, only thing that's, you know, the only line that's never been crossed is Chase and I. You know, everything else, I think, you know, everyone's crossed those lines.
That's right, BFF.
Tim, thank you so much as always. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Always good to chat with Tim Hasselbeck.
Great stuff.
Good stuff as always. And, of course, every week he is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Willie, tell everybody about QC Kinetics.
All right, let's do it. If you got chronic joint pain, if you're in that class, I know there's a lot of people out there that start dealing with this as they get a little older. If you're not having success with steroids, or maybe you are trying to avoid a surgery, maybe you've talked to some people about some different ideas. Well, have you considered this? There may be a better way, and it's now available here from the medical professionals at QC Kinetics. It's now open here in our listening area. I'm talking about new therapies, advanced, all-natural, regenerative treatments that can not only just give you relief, but also restore and repair damaged tissue so you can have lasting relief. That's what you're looking for. If you've got joint pain due to arthritis, knee pain, hip pain, shoulder pain, don't just think the old ways, the traditional ways of dealing with pain are the only ways. You need to learn more about these new biologic therapy solutions. That's where QC Kinetics comes in. 615-249-4024. It's a free consultation. So call that number, 615-249-4024. They are remarkable. They increase mobility, decrease pain, and help restore the tissue. They can actually encourage your body to heal itself. Call now and learn more. QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. 249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe here with you. Predators and the San Jose Sharks coming your way tonight. Remember, it's a 7:30 face-off here at Bridgestone Arena. Darren will have the pregame coverage starting at 6:30. Chase will come on at 6 after Jared and Caroline are finished up. And he will have a special 30-minute show to preview the World Series.
Yes.
So that is getting underway tonight as well.
Chip Carey going to join me. So that'll be fun.
Excellent. And we have on either 102.5 or 94.9 Game 2, we will have coverage of the World Series. We'll have the radio call for you. Tonight, obviously, it's on the Deuce, 94.9 Game 2, because we have the Predators
game.
Well,
you have to put a dollar in the jar. Because it's ESPN 94.9. It's not Game 2.
Yeah, I just like to call it the Deuce. It's a lingo. It's a lingo thing.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, tonight we'll be starting at 6 on ESPN 94.9. Tomorrow we'll be starting at 7 after Smashville Live on 102.5 The Game. And then Friday for Game 3 will also be on 102.5 The Game.
And just for people's information, why is the game for the Predators starting at 7:30 tonight? Because it is being televised on ESPN Plus. And when I say televised, I should say streamed. It is a full ESPN production.
Yep.
So our Bally crew is not involved in this one. It's the only way you can watch the game other than coming to the game, and there are tickets available. You can come on out and watch the Predators and the Sharks. Sharks are off to a great start. It's a 4-1 team coming in here. So it's a big, big game tonight. Earlier today, Ellie Tolvanen was able to skate in the morning skate, so it looks like he's good to go. David Poile telling us he expects him to play.
Adam Vivian tweeted out he is playing.
Yeah, so that's very good news. Scary hit when he got hit into the boards, but it looks like he has passed all of the necessary protocols. Let me ask you guys this on something we talked to Tim about. For weeks I've been saying I think the Colts are going to get back into this thing. They're not done. I was not aware of how well Carson Wentz has played. We saw him on the two bad ankles. Right now, they really like how he is moving, how Frank Reich is using him. Michael Pittman is emerging. They've got the running game going. They've sorted out some of the issues on the offensive line. I think this would be a lot different had they not gaffed the game against the Ravens and they were coming into this game on a four-game winning streak. You'd have a lot more hype attached to this game. But even so, I think quietly the Colts are getting it together. They're looking a lot more like the team that we expected them to be. But tell me what you guys are seeing here. I kidded Chase yesterday because he thinks the Titans should win, even though they're a one-point favorite.
They should win.
It's a total flip of the coin when you have a one-point spread. But Chase says they should win. Tim had some interesting thoughts when I asked him about just the mental thing that Mike Vrabel is going through. He's got everybody in the league saying, man, great job. You guys beat the Bills and the Chiefs. This is amazing. Wow. You guys are really good. Pat you on the back there. But Mike Vrabel knows that this is the biggest game in this stretch because it's the division game. If you can win this game, you get yourself a really, really good cushion because it's really worth two games. If you have a 2-0 win in the season series and you automatically have the tiebreaker, it's like an extra game.
Yep.
So I think this is a really interesting game because the Colts are starting to get better. They're starting to get their confidence back some. The Carson Wentz thing, you know, people weren't sure what they were going to get. It's working right now. He's got one interception. Yep. He's not the turnover machine making bad decisions anymore. Frank Reich is straightening him out.
Did you see who else was in the lineup Sunday night?
Michael Badgley. He was.
True.
He is their kicker.
No, and by the way, Michael Pittman is really starting to...
Oh, he's coming up big numbers.
He is turning it on.
He is turning into a weapon.
He had four catches, 105 yards, and a touchdown.
Plus pass interference.
And their win, yes.
They had almost 100 yards of pass interference yards that's not involved in the passing stats.
But did you see who got a couple, three carries to be exact? Had a little showing? So I don't know if they put it behind him or what.
Mac?
Marlon Mack.
Yeah.
Back in the fold.
But I mean, Taylor's still.
Jonathan Taylor is averaging 5.5 yards per carry.
Yep.
He is
6 yards Sunday
he
night.
He is looking good. Mm-hmm. He's looking good.
Nyheim Hines hurt you in many different ways, you know, when they use him. And, you know, I think his role could get, you know, even bigger down the stretch of trying to use him as a pass catcher out of the backfield.
Sure. The Titans, even when they weren't rushing the passer real well, they've done a good job quietly of taking away teams' running games. But this is a tough running team to take away. This is a team that loves to run the ball. So I think it's a great challenge for the Titans defense to see if they can build off of what they did last week. But I think this is going to be a tough task.
I don't think there's any. I mean, I don't know.
I didn't say it was going to be easy.
I don't know how you could have a differing opinion. I mean, this is not going to be a walk in the park, this game at all. I think it's a 50-50 game. I really do. I mean, this is going to be extremely tough. And like you said, if it wasn't for that gigantic Monday night meltdown, we will be talking about a 4-3 Colts team, you know, versus a 5-2 Titans team. I mean, you know, and they look like, and they're not. You say, I don't know what you've been impressed, because what's interesting is it's not like they're blowing you away. They're just starting to, I don't know, they're just starting to get it together, but it's not like you're wowed by them. They are starting to run the ball. effectively. Pittman is turning into their big weapon. Carson, but it's not like Carson Wentz is slinging it around and throwing the ball 42 times a game and putting up gaudy stats. I mean, what do you have Sunday night? I know it was in a bomb cyclone.
Yes, the bomb cyclone, which we've learned about.
Is it a boom cyclone? I'm not sure what
it's bomb.
I mean, his stats were pretty pedestrian.
But he has four consecutive weeks where his passer rating has been over 100.
Okay,
that doesn't even count the fact that he's running. He can run. The ankle injuries are behind him. He's big. So it's working the way that they envisioned, where he's not having to do too much. That was what you heard from Tim. They're not forcing him to do too much because they have the good running game. So this is rounding into a good offense. The Football Outsiders rankings are out, you know, with the ratings. The Colts, despite being, you know, a couple games behind, have higher ratings by and large than the Titans. Now, you know, that's just the numbers are the numbers. The way they calculate them, I think we can certainly say that the eye test is a heck of a lot better for the Titans than what the numbers would tell you. So I think it comes down a lot to this Titans defense that had everybody shocked the way they just – because the Chiefs don't have games where they score 3 points. It just doesn't ever happen. So people were going, wow, where in the heck did this Titans defense come from out of nowhere? Is that something that is going to continue? Or was that just a one-week thing, you caught the Chiefs at the right time? Because I'll tell you, the national narrative, when I listen to the different talking heads, you know, you go to NFL Network, you got ESPN, you got some podcasts, you got MMQB, they're much more talking about, hey, what is going on with the Chiefs? It's much more that than it is, hey, man, the Titans are really surging to the top of the AFC. But if I'm Mike Vrabel, I kind of like that. I'm using that. I'm going into the locker room saying, you know, they're talking a lot about how the Chiefs are down. They're not talking about us.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they don't believe in us.
He uses and we know this, and we've known this for years, and he was asked yesterday, you know, why he gets kind of snippy and in a bad mood, and he's like, I'm just trying to stay focused. But you know, that's the media's way of asking, like, is this just your plan here? Like, is this how you are with us, with the team, of let's keep the chip on our shoulder, let's keep the tunnel vision, let's stay focused?
And he's not celebrating with the media either.
No, he's not, and fine, that's great. Like, Joe Rexroad had the tweet the other day of, you know, if Vrabel gets this team to the Super Bowl and they win the Super Bowl, he's going to walk in the press conference, do double birds, and then walk out. And I said, well, no, he'll take a question from Teresa first, and then he'll do the double birds and he'll walk out.
But why? I don't even understand that. So explain that to me. What does that mean?
It's,
why?
It's the joke of, like, his personality of just he's.
But who is that geared towards?
Anyone in general, because it's along the lines of what we've been talking about of when he is, it's like when they do well, he's in a worse mood. Like think about that. We've talked about that before. Yeah. Of they destroyed, I think it was Buffalo last year. They beat Buffalo on the Tuesday night game, and you would have thought they lost by 30 the next day of how he was. But that's him. That's just the player mentality, I guess, with him and how he played. But you know, that's I think he uses that. I think he uses that whole chip on the shoulder mentality, and it rubs off on his team, and you're starting to see that with some of their swagger. Now, can they keep that up? Can they, especially on the road in Indy, which is a tough place to play, in a place that I think that the Titans should win. And I will stand by that.
We'll come back, wrap up the third hour. Don't forget Clark Lee to begin the fourth and final hour over on West End. We do that next here on DDD on the DDC ESPN 25 The Game.
Available on
Don't forget tomorrow, your chance to participate in Nashville SC Pick to Click. Our regular season is winding down, 3 games to go. That's brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game tomorrow, you win a pair of tickets to see a Nashville SC team take on New York Red Bulls at Nissan Stadium on November 7th. Participate tomorrow morning. Aha, this is for Vincent. Look at this copy. Vincent, this is for you. tomorrow morning at 9:45. I will not read what the copy says. The copy says tomorrow morning at 9:45 a.m. That's redundant.
It is.
No reason to say that. Tomorrow morning at 9:45. You don't need to say a.m.
Just like you don't need to say ATM machine.
That's correct.
And I even draw.
But for those who didn't hear on This Is What I Know yesterday, Vincent called in, and he had a good This Is What I Know, and then he ended it with Darren, because he heard me on the morning show talk about when they asked me about grammar and stuff, and I said, I've got grammar police at home, my wife, and they come in a long line of teachers, and they're very, because you know this, Chase. We've talked about, I was like, you know, I's and me's and how you spell there and how you spell your, all that stuff. And, you know, we started that discussion, and he said, just so you know, Darren, when you end the show, you say, we'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And I was like, he's like, isn't that redundant? And I was like, you know what?
It is. I've never thought about it either.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And why is it taking so long for somebody to tell me that? He's right. And so I didn't do it yesterday.
No.
I you jumped in there.
I helped you.
You jumped in and just said 10 o'clock.
Yep. Bailey DJ Nashville, I love you. Well, what was funny is I just saw Derek, and I mentioned that. Like, there was one day where I think it was Willie and I off the air. We said that because that's how Derek always signed off. So I figured I'd throw that in there. But here's another one that I have tried to break myself of because I've been guilty of it. NFL football. So National Football League football.
Is that what – do you say that, though?
I've said
it. A lot of people say it.
Really?
A lot
of people say it. NFL football, really?
Oh, yeah. A ton of people say it. Are you kidding?
Well, like
– National Football League football?
National Football League football. And, like, I've heard Nashville SC soccer. Nashville Soccer Club soccer.
Okay.
Like,
that's a good one.
Yeah. You know, NHL hockey. National Hockey League hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I think NHL hockey, that's a good one. That's a good crutch, right?
Oh, I say that.
We're done. I was going to say, I think we're all guilty.
Now, if you say Nashville Predators hockey, that's okay. I think that's... But like with Nashville,
but that's not redundant.
No, like, but like with Nashville SC, even though that's their name, the SC stands for soccer club. So you're saying Nashville.
Tons of people come to think of it, say NHL hockey.
Yes.
Tons of people.
Agreed.
And I'm one of them.
Yep. Me too.
So
I'd probably say it every game.
I mean, like I said, I'm trying to break myself of it because I'm guilty of it. But, you know.
Yesterday, as we close up shop here in this third hour quickly, it was amazing. All the feedback we got on the whole Mike Vrabel,
I took phone
and the
calls.
Fans and the tickets, and tell you what, there was it carried over, it spilled over after our show. We got a lot of feedback yesterday on that.
Yeah, I got calls from people that were listening, texts, you know, other media people, and so yeah, it definitely hit
because it's a complex thing. It's a layered thing. It's gonna, it's not going to be something they can just solve in 1 year. It's going to be it would have to be a process that takes place over time. And the problem is, in my opinion, I don't think they addressed it earlier when they maybe had a better chance because it's grown.
Mm-hmm.
It's got more solid. You know, as the guy was talking about, who is the Uber driver, who's escorting a lot of the people that go from the Airbnbs every weekend
to the game.
They're set up. You know, they got their tickets. They got their Airbnb. They got all the places they want to go downtown. They're setting up spots. They're getting their friends in there.
Probably
they're
the
playing
Airbnbs
in ahead of time.
Are in your neighborhood.
Oh, I saw dozens of Bills fans walking from East Nashville over to the, you know, it's a sizable walk, but that's what they figured out. Hey, you know what? Or they took an Uber, but they probably saw the traffic and like, hey, you know what? I'll just take a nice little walk. You see them.
Vincent from Dixon on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says, my work here is done.
Well done, Vincent. Well done. Our work is done for hour number three. We come back fourth and final hour. We start with Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. That's next.